I'm Dave Summers, and welcome to AMA's Edgewise, where you will hear fresh insights from recognized thought leaders across a wide range of subject matter. AMA's Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Don Kirkpatrick has long been recognized as one of the leading authorities in the field of training. The American Society of Training and Development dubbed him a living legend. Almost all learning professionals have heard of Kirkpatrick's four levels of evaluation: reaction, learning, behavior, and results. Don's son, James Kirkpatrick, is also a well-known practitioner in the field of training. As co-author with Don on their book, Implementing the Four Levels, Jim brings fresh viewpoints while upholding the original principles of his father's lifelong project. Don and Jim, welcome to Edgewise. Don, your work is renowned. You created a standard for trainers. Let's just do a quick recap of the four levels of training evaluation. Tell us about each one in brief.
These all came from my dissertation at the University of Wisconsin when I was evaluating a program on supervisory skills. And I decided if I'm going to evaluate, I'm going to do four things. Number one, I'm going to measure reaction. The people who attend the University of Wisconsin programs are paying a fee, and we want to know they're satisfied because they're going back to the company and tell people what they thought of the program. And if we're going to stay in business, we have to measure reaction, and it better be good. Number two, we're trying to teach them some knowledge, some skills, and maybe change some attitudes. And we want to measure learning and determine, are they learning what we're teaching them? How effective are we as instructors in getting them to learn? Number three, when they go back on the job, are they going to behave any differently because they attended this program? And number four, because of this program, are they getting better results in the company? So I just came up with four practical, simple words: reaction, learning, behavior, and results. And I never gave it another thought. I got my PhD, and that was it. Then I got a call from the Training and Development Journal from the editor, Pat Callaghan. She said, I understand you did some research on evaluation. Would you write an article on it? And I said, all right, four articles. So I wrote four articles, and then it took off from there. The book was not written until 40 years later. In 1993, the first book, then the second edition, the third edition, and now these other two books to follow.
So the two of you have a new book out called Implementing the Four Levels. What's interesting is that your research has shown that most companies, not all, stop at level two. What can they do to change that?
We've tried with this particular book to supplement the basic book, which is Evaluating Training Programs of Four Levels, which, by the way, is in the third edition. But this book is breaking down the four levels into parts where it's easy to look at each level, and we explain in there how you implement at each level, how you evaluate level one, how you evaluate level two, and there's more forms in their procedures, so we're calling it a practical guide for effective evaluation.
One of the things that I try and do with companies is rather than say, well, let's start with level one, then we'll go with level two, and then three and four, I start with the end in mind. Unfortunately, people never get past two to a large degree because they get too burdened with the challenges of writing effective tests. It's just so hard to write valid, reliable tests that they just don't get beyond that. So I start in the reverse order and I say, well, let's start with what are the expectations of either your training division, your corporate university, a particular program or course. Identify what success would look like, what metrics the stakeholders are expecting you to affect. And then back through to level three, what behaviors will be required in order to move those needles? And then back further, what learning, attitude, skills, and knowledge will be required for people to be equipped to perform differently on the job? And then what kind of atmosphere will be required? And if they start with the end in mind and see that 4-3-2-1, and they can see the progression, it's easier for them then to be able to say, I think I can develop tools and methods for each of those four levels because level four is already done for me because I've identified success and expectations. It's relatively easy for me to then back up and then be able to evaluate at level one, two, three, and four because they've seen the whole pattern during the initial needs assessment. But when you just start with one and then you go to two, you can get bogged down and they never even see three or four.
Well, Don, to make the most of training opportunities, what's the role of managers or executives in a company?
We need the managers for two reasons. One, because we've got to get them to accept what we're doing. And I quote George Odierno, who talks about, if you want people to accept something, give them a feeling of ownership. And most managers have no ownership in programs. Their subordinates attend. They have nothing to do with the content. They don't know what they're learning and so on, and therefore they're not even going to talk to the people about it. But if they're involved, if we can get them involved in helping determining needs or the contents of programs, I think that's one way of getting them on board. The other way is to be sure that we get them involved in the evaluation in levels 3 and 4. And that's why in this new book there's a chapter on getting the managers on board, and not only why it's important, but also how to do it.
What are some of the reasons for the current disconnect between training and the role of the manager? And I guess a related problem is the disconnect between learning and behavioral change.
I see a lot of training people believe that their job is done when level 2 is done, when learning takes place, when the computer switched off on an e-learning, or when people leave the classroom from an instructor-led. They truly believe their job is done, even reflecting in the course objectives that typically only go into level 2. Managers, on the other hand, think their job is level 4, and they don't have time to be babysitting these employees, and a lot of them don't even really believe in their heart in developing people. So level 3 becomes the disconnect, and level 3 is the one you're asking about, the transferring of learning to behavior. It's no man's land. We call it the missing link, because training people take ownership for 1 and 2, business people take ownership for 4, and 3 is just left on its own.
Now, to turn this situation around, aren't we really talking about a new role for leadership? Terms that I've seen in your books include accountability, support, even effective change management systems to create business partnerships between the training function and the top of the organization.
I would hope that leadership training and even coaching at least has some components of how do managers and supervisors reinforce training. I think that is so important, as opposed to just general leadership or leadership horizontally. How do leaders, whether they be managers, supervisors, coaches, actually work with employees that have gone to training and take them with their eagerness and new learning that they have and new skills, and really work with them so that they execute those things and they apply them on the job? Because then and only then are they going to get the results that they're held accountable for. A lot of sports teams get that. They realize that they lose because they didn't execute. But unfortunately, the business world still doesn't get that execution of learning is where the results come from. And so I think that's what the emphasis should be on, both having the training or the learning people reaching across the chasm and being able to help managers and being able to do a lot of level 3, and the managers realizing their job is reinforcement, support, accountability, coaching, and reaching back out of what they're normally accustomed to, and that's staring at their precious results, coming together and executing the strategy at the level 3.
And we try to describe in chapter 2 there about getting managers on board, not only helping to determine needs and feeling a part of it, but also their challenge in the evaluation process. What guarantee that they're going to do it, you know, accountability, but also in evaluating it, we need their help. So we've got to overcome that gap.
There's been a lot of emphasis, of course, on training's responsibility to the corporation, that they provide effective training, the training has impact, and so on. But I think what your new book is really saying is that managers and corporations have an accountability too, not only to the trainers, but to the employees who are undergoing the training.
To me, development is key, and part of development is coaching people to effectively use what they've learned so that they can be effective on their job, so their careers can advance, they can contribute to the business, they can contribute to the customer. Unfortunately, it's just kind of a neglected component of what good leadership is. Some are great at it, but there's just not enough critical mass that really helps companies execute.
You know, I've written a book for AMA called Improving Employee Performance Through Appraisal and Coaching. And one of the things about it is, how can we improve performance? And that's the whole idea of training. I think training and appraisal are pretty much separated. They're two different areas. Performance appraisal is usually human resources, and now we've got special training. In that particular book, the coaching aspect of working with people to help them improve their performance is critical. And it's the same thing here for training departments. We've got to get the managers on board, and the training people are not going to do it. They can't help it. We've got to rely on people, and we hope the coaching courses, and as Jim said, the leadership courses, are stressing the need for them to support the training and to be sure it is applied on the job.
And before we completely point the finger at those bad managers for not supporting our precious training, we need to also do our part, and that is to make it easier for them to be good coaches by letting them know what their people are being trained in and to give them short, simple job aids of how they can support training, because that's just not their area of expertise. Also, we can make it easier by doing some level three ourselves through sending surveys, conducting some focus groups and things. So we certainly have to do our part of reaching across the chasm to really make this business partnership work.
We'd like to thank Drs. Don Kirkpatrick and Jim Kirkpatrick, authors of the new book, Implementing the Four Levels. Thank you, gentlemen.
Hi, everyone. This is Annette Homan. I'm a director in the portfolio area here at AMA. With me today is Pam Soden, one of our faculty leaders. She's been with us for many years, trains in a number of the different areas that we have here at AMA. And today we're going to talk specifically about the Training the Trainer program. So Pam, tell me, I know you've worked with the Training the Trainer program for quite some time, and it is a top seller that we have here at AMA. Why do you think it's a top seller based on what you've seen?
I think it's a top seller because it's a place where an organization can rapidly get a return on their investment. Organizations are faced with having to work with reduced headcount and trying to get the most out of the people they've got. So the subject matter expert is there but doesn't have the training skills. And what they're able to do in 3 days with us is get what they need to go back to their organization and now take on a totally new activity with skill and a certain set of confidence.
At AMA, we watch very carefully the trends and changes in the market. And based on the evolution of the customer, we change our program to meet their needs. And the Train the Trainer is one of the ones that we've just recently launched a revision on. So I was hoping that we could talk a little bit about that today. So what are some of the things that we changed? Can you describe what some of those activities are and how that new structure has really helped to meet the needs of the current training audience as well as the new audience that we're seeing, which are those subject matter experts?
One of the things you just asked is what those activities are, and I think the fact that there are a lot of activities is critical. Not only are there a lot of activities, but there are a lot of activities plus an action planner, which after every module enables the participant to identify how they can use this back on the job with the material that they have to train. What I've observed in the classes is that they just keep writing. And the fact that they keep writing says to me they got it, and they have a sense of what they're going to do, and it's increased the likelihood that it's going to occur.
What are some of the key things that you've heard people say that they've really been able to take from the program and bring back as practical skills?
One of the things clearly is a recognition of how to use interactive activities in their training. You also get to watch literally a transformation with people. As they become more comfortable, you can see the physical difference in people. As they become more comfortable in recognizing a way for them to communicate this information to the trainees that they have to work with and recognize it's not all on them to have to get people to get it. They're engaged in a process with adult learners who have responsibility for learning as well.
To find out more about the Training the Trainer program, you can visit the AMA website. The seminar number that we use to identify the program is 8507, and you can read more information about the program as well as a detailed outline on the topics that we cover in the program. The address for our website is www.amanet.org.
It would be great to hear your feedback on this program. So please drop us an email note at podcast@amanet.org or call us at 800-697-3406. That's 800-697-3406. For more information on our executive conference centers and seminars, please visit our website, www.amanet.org. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.